Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. This is the very special Halloween episode.
You guys were all like the same pitch.
Yeah, that's because we're dudes.
Harmonizing.
Harmonizing yeah, maniacal
have laughs. The harmonies when you do those evil laughs.
Yeah.
So spooky.
We're a group dedicated to the betterment of all monsters under the banner of very scary board games. My name is Adam. I'm your moderator tonight. And I am joined by Steven, House on Haunted Hill.
Heyo.
Kaylee, Scary Eyes Wise.
I'm back.
And Mr. Howell.
Back.
Wow.
That was inspirational. Yeah, sorry, I was more like Swamp Thing.
I was trying to think of something, but I couldn't.
So let's talk about the game of life. What's happening?
Not really the game.
No, I
got excited.
So what's going on in your guys' lives these days?
The universe hates me. I don't know.
All right. Lay down a story for us.
My car's dead. Deader than dead.
Wow.
I can top that.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened?
Well, it's been like having some trouble starting for about a week now. So I thought, oh, the battery's doing bad. So then on Saturday, I think it was, I go to O'Reilly's. Shout out to O'Reilly's Auto Parts. And I buy a new battery, which was somewhat expensive. They replace it for me. It seems like it's working. And then the car just full out dies after work. And won't start, won't jump start, won't anything. So then we look at it, and it turns out that it's actually the starter. So even though the battery was classified as bad, so I still kind of needed a new one, it didn't actually fix the problem.
Right.
So now I have to spend like double the money on a starter while my car just sits in the parking lot, probably getting vandalized for days. And I was trying to like save money, you know?
Yeah.
And all of it's just right down the drain. So that's nice.
Yeah. Cars, man.
Yeah.
It's just the most frustrating
thing. Your life
thing
is going along just fine. You're in your the little routine.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, something wrong with your car just throws a wrench in the gears.
That's right.
And then speaking of Fuddruckers, things are just going downhill.
Okay.
But
nobody there listens to this podcast.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
I mean, maybe my boss does.
Okay.
If so, you jacked up the schedule again.
All right, Miss Wise, what's happening in your world?
Not good
things. Do you have a sob story, too, about...
I have multiple sob stories, you know, but we were doing an overnight at Old Navy, and I was trying to move a men's mannequin by myself, and the men's ones are heavier than, like, any of the other mannequins in the store. And I was like, nah, I've done this before. I can do it. And it was my first day back to work in like 2 weeks and I got it down pretty well by myself, and I was like adjusting my hands so that I could set it on the floor and the top half of it started to go, and then it just fell onto my toe, the metal base of it.
Ow.
And so I had to go to the emergency room. Even though I did not want to, like, I was fighting against my manager about going.
Like, throwing punches?
I did not want to go. I was like, it's just broken. All they're going to do is tape it. And she's like, no, Kaylee, it's store policy. You have to go. And I was like... So we got there at about 1:19 in the morning. And didn't leave there until, like, 3 in the morning.
Wow.
So ridiculous. But I must have been like the highlight of their night because everyone came in to check out my toe. But so it wasn't broken, but there was, I don't know what it's called, but blood builds up underneath your toenail or whatever. And so it can feel like a broken toe. So they have to like burn holes into your toenail. And so they did that to my toenail. And now I have 3 lovely little holes in my toenail. And they said that my toenail is probably going to fall off. Yay!
Are the holes arranged in such a way that you can make it into a smiley face?
No, they're like right across from each other.
Disappointing.
Yeah. And like the third one's way bigger than the other two. Because it was the one that like all the blood started bursting out of it.
Wow, yeah. This is Halloween worthy.
It was so gross. There's like smoke coming up from the drill and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. They had to numb my toe. And so in order to do that, she like has to hit reflexes. And so they had to hold down my leg so that they could numb my toe, because every time she'd put it in, my leg would like kick up. Yeah. It was great. Wow. It was quite the experience.
That is. But now you have to wear sandals, and it's supposed to snow next week.
My life sucks.
Mr. Powell, how's your life?
Comparatively okay. I'm just trudging my way through school, taking pictures for photography.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any interesting subjects?
I'm doing night pictures now.
Those are fun.
Yeah, spooky.
Spooky night pictures.
Ooh. Yeah, I went to the Moss Mansion. I'm convinced that when it develops, there will be a ghost in the picture.
Awesome. And if not, we'll Photoshop one in, right?
I mean, what? No. Photoshop is never used for such things.
No. So, now that we've talked about life.
How well it's going.
Yeah. We should talk a little bit about the board game community at large. I think.
Nah.
Yeah, screw it.
Okay. Please continue, Adam. Right.
So, I think we've discovered that the board game community is actually quite, not small, but very tight-knit. Ooh. And for the second time, Shut Up and Sit Down has read a letter that we've written to them about our youth group. If you're not familiar with Shut Up and Sit Down, it's a podcast out of the UK that's a little bit more edgy than most, but quite funny. And if you want to listen to those letters, be sure to check out episode 25 of theirs, entitled Stop, Let's Banana, and episode 33, their most recent. So I just want to thank Shut Up and Sit Down for reading our letters. So... thanks, Quinns and Paul.
Wait, is his
Bravo!
Name?
The end
Quinns?
Of that.
His name is Quinns.
S, not yeah. Just Quinn?
His name is Quentin.
There's actually, oh.
But he goes by Quinns.
Oh, there's actually just two of them?
Why did we give him a mic again? Why does this keep happening?
So, being the Halloween cast, I figure first we should probably explain Halloween to those listening that may not participate in Halloween. How would you guys describe Halloween here in the United States? Like, what is it all about?
A lot of people dress up and go around and get candy.
That's pretty
much
what it is.
Especially the younger crowd.
Right.
And then you have the occasional, like, 29-year-old who shows up at your door and is like, I want candy.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, get out of here, you freak. And he's like, trick. And then that's the end of it.
And then he walks
away. Bat him out the door with, like, a broom.
Yeah.
Shoo, get out of here.
That's literally exactly what happens.
Yeah, so really, these days it's mostly just about dressing up in silly costumes and eating a lot of candy. You guys have any favorite memories about Halloween? Favorite video games, maybe, that are a little bit creepy?
I have a memory and a video game.
All right, let's hear it.
So my favorite memory is that 2 years ago, I want to say it was, old Seth and I, who was unable to be on tonight's podcast.
Right.
Found a random traffic cone, and we stole it because we're such rebels.
You guys are gangsters.
Yeah. We brought it to my house, and we taped a note on it that just said trick, and then we went door to door. We would leave a traffic cone on the doorstep that said trick, ring the doorbell, and Seth and I would run away and watch what they would do when they answered the door, and there's just a traffic cone sitting there. We did this almost all night.
Okay.
It was amazing.
Edgy.
Did you get some good reactions?
Yes.
Okay. But we're not going to talk about
no.
them?
Okay. Well, one person flat took the cone inside with them. Okay. They were like, oh, this is mine
this
now.
This is mine.
So then we went and got another one.
Sweet. I was looking for a new traffic cone.
But to be fair, this was not like active construction. There was a cone a couple blocks away from my house. Literally doing nothing. Mm. Like they forgot it on a street corner.
Okay.
At least I assume.
What
I
mean, if it was there for like a specific purpose?
It was there for months though.
And you guys took it. And
well,
then disaster struck.
It might have.
Well, Halloween, man. It's yeah. Trick.
Now they're going to find you.
That's on them. There's no candy provided.
They don't know my address. So they can't really find me. Favorite game, though?
Mm-hmm.
Until Dawn.
Until Dawn.
Until Dawn.
Is this a zombie video game?
No.
So what is this, Until Dawn? If it's not zombies.
Something mysterious.
Something mysterious. Well, it's eight friends who go to the woods, this cabin in the woods. It's completely unrelated to cabin in the woods.
Okay.
And,
it's like a ski resort, though.
Yeah, well, it's a ski resort, but then they have like this big like property. The family, like, one family has a property up there.
So it's adjacent to the ski resort.
Yeah, and then a year prior to when the game takes place, they were up there because it's an annual like get together.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess like two other friends, these sisters, ran off in the woods and they disappeared. And so everybody thinks they're dead.
And we know that they... Well, wait, never mind.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Sorry!
So everybody thinks they're dead.
So much excitement.
But despite that, they return to the cabin. And then...
And they had a brother who was one of their friends, by the way. BTW. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So the brother owns the watch.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't own it.
Well, his family owns the watch.
Anyways. So... Yeah. A bunch of crazy crap starts happening. And it escalates very quickly. People may or may not die.
Okay.
Because it's a whole... What makes the game cool is that it's entirely decision-based by little things you do, like if you go this way or that way, and if you run or you jump or you... Like there's just all these options and all these decisions you have to make, and each one affects the outcome of the game. So it's pretty
cool. That's really cool.
It's pretty freaky.
Is it?
And it's...
Very gory.
Ooh.
I actually super enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Well,
I think the worst part is there's this... I never personally played it myself, but I watched someone play it.
Okay.
And he made a wrong decision, and he killed someone by accident.
Ooh.
And, like, their neck cracked, and you could hear it, and, like, sound just, like...
Yeah, there's a lot of intense, gross kinds of things that happen.
Yeah.
Never get, like, super sick, like, fever sick, and then marathon it if you're going to watch it.
Is that what you did?
Yes, and it was terrifying. Okay, and I had a fever at the time.
We both watched it. I'm the only one who's played it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because okay. I've beat it twice.
Okay.
The first time, things did not go as planned.
Okay.
The second time, I saved all eight of them.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to brag.
Nice. Well done.
You know.
Well done. So what other games pair really well with Halloween?
I have so many.
Yeah?
What was that one called that was a pretty big deal for a while?
Super Meat Boy?
Yeah, that's the... No.
Oh, come on.
No, it was like a...
Is it Slender Man?
No, it was the one where you're trapped in an asylum, and there's, like, scary ghost guy running around.
I know what you're talking about, but
scary ghost guy?
Yeah, remember. Scary ghost guy. My favorite character. Someone who's listening, who's played the game, is like, it's this! Why are you so dumb?
That could be. We'll come back to you, Mr. Powell. Think about it. Kaylee, do you have a favorite scary game?
I like so many, but I've never really played... I've only played one, and I could only do one night of it.
Okay.
Because it was too scary. But I love watching other people play it, like play scary games. But I played Five Nights at Freddy's, the very first one, and it was like the first night, which is the easiest night ever. But I was too freaked out. Okay. I was like, no, 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 he's going to kill me. Like, nope, nope.
What is the premise of this game?
So Five Nights at Freddy's is like Chuck E. Cheese, but like the Chuck E. Cheese character is trying to kill you. And so you're a night security guard. You're basically just watching over them, I guess, and trying not to let them kill you. So you're stuck in this room, and you have to shut the doors when they come. And, yeah, if you don't watch one camera often enough, one character pops out and will come and kill you. And so then it's upgraded, and now they're to their fourth one. But it's the most definitely frightening of all of them because you're in a bedroom and... I guess you're stuffed animals. I don't know, but they're like in your closet behind your bed, and you have to run to the doors, and they're like creeping around your house. It's freaky.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff.
Is it?
Yeah. I watched some of like the third one, I think it was.
Okay.
It was, yeah.
So do you guys play these things in the dark?
Yes.
Of course. I don't
Mr. Powell plays only games with teddy bears and unicorns all day long.
I don't play scary games.
Oh. Do you guys play like the SCP games?
Oh, those are spooky.
They're these like scientifically modified things that they're testing out on prisoners. And so you're this prisoner and you go in and this one, or at least the first one that we played, it's like three people have to be looking at it at all times. Mm-hmm. And if someone blinks, like if you all three blinked at the same time, then it would move really quickly. Kind of like, I guess, like the...
Similar to the Weeping
Angels.
Yeah,
Weeping Angels in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then what happens is like the lights go out and he kills the other two that are looking at him. And then as this night goes on, all these other different SCPs start getting let out and loose. And some of them are good for you. Some of them are evil. Some of them are kind of like, whatever, just there.
It's similar to what a creepypasta is, which is basically the internet's version of a campfire story.
Okay.
Don't ask me what the
name
is.
Aren't they like the ones who came up with Slender Man too?
Yeah. Yeah. But this one is...
Dude, SCPs are real.
SCPs. There's some freaky stories
right?
out there.
SCPs are basically a more organized version of that.
Okay.
They have like this whole universe kind of thing. And
yeah, they have like...
People get together and you have to apply to write stories that are in the universe.
Yeah, on their website, they have a whole list of like SCPs where it's just like...
Wow.
Yeah. The game you're talking about would be SCP-173.
Yeah.
I only remember that because it rhymes.
Okay.
Nice.
Then we played one that's like the Midnight Man. And so it's basically you go into your house and you do this ritual where you invite the Midnight Man in, I guess, or whatever.
Wow.
And so all you, the rules are if like you turn on your house lights, you're dead. So you only get this candle and basically you're walking around your house. And if your candle goes out, that means he's near you and he's coming to kill you.
Wow.
So you have to actually like take a box of matches and relight it and light the candle in this game. And my friend who was playing it, like anytime the Midnight Man would come and like blow out the candle, he'd be like, sorry, sorry, sorry. And like trying to light it. But it was funny because like the first time he could not get it to light. So he was dead instantly. Wow. It was tough.
Dude, nighttime on Minecraft.
Nighttime on
Spotify. Oh my gosh.
There is nothing scarier than being in a mine, just having mine diamonds, and then all of a sudden you hear kss behind you.
I gotta say, some of the.
Whenever it happens to me, I always have cats.
Yeah.
Aren't they just boxes?
Yes, but they're boxes that explode and destroy your hardware.
They're called seriously, creepers for a reason. Seriously. They creep up behind you.
My like worst jump scares, believe it, like worse than Until Dawn or anything, have been in Minecraft.
Okay.
When I turn around and there's a creeper looking at me, oh my gosh!
There's the zombies.
Because you know full well what's about to happen, yeah. And like, it's not pleasant.
Like the zombies and the skeletons.
And if you
spiders,
make eye contact with the
freaky, but...
Enderman or whatever, you make eye contact and he's like,
and because he teleports around and stuff, and he makes the most god awful noise.
Wow.
Dude, Minecraft is intense.
Nighttime.
And then isn't there like Minecraft. An Ender Dragon?
Endermen, by the way, are based off of Slenderman. Big surprise there.
Because Slenderman is real.
That's like there was stories of like little girls like stabbing this other little girl, and they're like, "Well, why'd you do it?" And they're like, "Cause Slenderman told me to." And I'm like, "Oh gosh!"
Wow.
Well, I've just seen weird pictures and videos of like the real Slenderman.
Yeah.
And
okay, even that's like Bigfoot.
Yeah, I'm still determined that they're all fake.
Yeah.
But they're still creepy pictures and like that's
is he slender?
Yes.
Well, and like he has just a white face.
Okay.
Featureless.
So like, yeah.
Yeah, he's featureless, and then he has
no nose.
And then he has like
long,
arms.
Yeah,
he's really long arms.
Okay.
Octopus arms coming at you. You can like see him in the distance, and it's so weird. And then all of a sudden, he'll be like right there, and his arms start coming at you first, and your screen starts going all blurry. And you're
and it makes like a static, like a bad signal.
So you know
on
he's
TV,
coming.
So it's like,
and so then you'll be like turning to go away, and he'll be like right there, and you're like, no!
But this is a board game.
I was about
podcast.
To say, it's a board game.
Maybe first of all, we should talk about why board games really aren't that scary. Have you guys ever played a board game that has scared you?
No, that's why I chuckled.
Right.
There's some that can establish a spooky atmosphere.
Right.
But nothing really scary.
Yeah, like a spooky atmosphere and like a gritty theme.
Yeah.
But really, it's just...
Well, I mean, you can't really see what's going on. There's not, like, something actually jumping at you. You're with a group of friends. You're probably all laughing.
Right.
Well, and you can see the entire board at once. It's not, like, a first-person thing where you turn a corner and something's there.
Right.
Because, like, you're in the mansion, and you just see the entire mansion in front of you, and you're like, oh, well, I know the zombie is six rooms away. It's
I feel like maybe a role-play game could be scary. Potentially.
Oh, yeah. If you had really good role players?
Yeah. Yeah, and a really good storyteller. And you kind of set the mood. You've got candles and it's dark. And some could be pretty scary.
Music, spooky music.
Yeah.
Music definitely elevates things.
Yeah. Maybe that's what we're doing wrong with our board game. Just need to play scary music.
Because I know with like Slender Man, like you were talking about the music and or at least the noise, like probably wouldn't be as scary if it weren't for that going in your ears. Like
that's actually a really good point because the games where we are kind of on edge and running around and frantic are like Pingo Pingo and Escape the Curse of the Temple, where there's that music and it's timed and you have to achieve something before time runs out.
Yeah. I can think of one that can instill a feeling of panic in you, though.
Okay.
I'm forgetting its name, though. Gosh, dang it.
I like that.
Well, even though board games aren't that scary, we do have a top 10 list here of games you should play during Halloween. So what is your guys' favorite Halloween board game?
House on Haunted Hill.
House on Haunted Hill.
Or Betrayal at House on Haunted Hill. Nice. I apologize.
Just forgetting all sorts of things, Mr. Powell.
I think that's a classic Halloween board game. It might even be the quintessential Halloween board game because it's got a lot going on depending on how you explore that mansion. And we've talked about it before. Could that be scary with the lights turned low, candles lit?
I think if you had the right group of people.
Well, I know that when I played it and I was like in charge of the voodoo dolls and I would read off the little like one-liners from the book and tried to make it kind of creepy.
Yeah.
If done right, that could be a little freaky, but it's still.
Maybe you just keep the betrayer in the dark, in the shadows. They just come forth.
We're doing it wrong. What we need to do is do all the stuff we're talking about with the role play where there's creepy music going on, but you get a friend to just wear a mask and occasionally jump out and yell. That would make any board game.
With the board game. They just jump out in a mask.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jump scares.
And you can't like see them because it's dark. And all of a sudden, that's not a scary noise, but
that was terrifying. So I'm just going to throw out, even though I gave it a little bit of heat beforehand, but just because I love it so much, I'm just going to say Dead of Winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really like a Halloween theme or too much of a scary theme. It's zombie apocalypse, but it's still kind of like...
Yeah. It's zombies. Zombies are a big part of Halloween now. So I think
but at this point, because I've watched so much of The Walking Dead and all this, and I've played Left 4 Dead and Dead of Winter. Just dead.
Dead of Dead.
Yeah. That zombies have like gotten far less frightening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing.
Yeah. But, we are oversaturated with zombies.
Yeah.
Are zombies really that scary?
Oh, snap.
I feel like if you were in a situation where there were actually zombies, they'd be pretty scary.
Well, yeah. Like if I walked into the hallway and a guy tried to eat my face, that would be pretty terrifying. But I'm saying, like watching them anymore and seeing things with zombies doesn't really seem too frightening. At this point,
they all seem to move somewhat slow.
Except for Left 4 Dead.
Except for the Left 4 Dead ones.
Or, what was that one? World War Z.
Did you forget something?
World War Z. I was crazy in that one.
Yeah, the sprinting zombies are far scarier than me.
Those are pretty scary.
Yeah.
But the classic slow moving zombie horde. Not really that scary to me. But Dead of Winter.
The Dead of Winter.
Yeah. Good pick.
Just a great game for any time of the year.
It is. Yeah. But especially Halloween. Kaylee, do you have a favorite Halloween board game?
I super enjoy Werewolf.
I agree.
Yep.
Which is actually One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
That's the version we
okay.
have.
I prefer longer, more drawn Steven. Out
version. So if you've ever played Mafia... Werewolf is pretty much Mafia with werewolves. However, we have the One Night Ultimate Werewolf version, which only takes place over an evening. So you can play a round of it in about 10 minutes. So you each close your eyes. There is a werewolf or not. And then you all wake up and accuse each other. And then
the werewolf doesn't
at the
kill
end.
Nothing.
That's right.
The one time I played that, it was just a disaster.
Well, we played it with the youth group.
Yeah.
It wasn't a youth group.
The times I played, like, I wasn't the werewolf. Like, I thought it was weird to give away who I was because everyone else was like, oh, I'm not the werewolf. I'm not that. So I was like, well, now they're just all going to assume I'm the werewolf, even if I say I'm not, which y'all did.
Yeah.
And I got killed, and I was just a townsperson. I believe it was your mother who was the werewolf.
You know what? You got to defend yourself.
I try, but no one listens to me, especially your wife, Tara.
Wow. We had just buried the hatchet with Tara last week.
Not me.
Kaylee's going to bury the hatchet.
There's going to be a Mario Kart showdown.
That's right.
Episode 21 is just going to be apologize to Tara.
James Bond throwdown.
Nice.
We haven't played James Bond yet.
Yeah, I agree. I like One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
You know, I don't like it as much as traditional werewolf or mafia, because each character has, like, a special ability that they do, but when it's just over one night, it seems pointless to me.
Well, I like it because at the end of it, you don't know if you're still the same person that you started out to be. So it's kind of like a guessing game and if people are telling the truth or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there are people in both camps. Mr. Powell... I know there are people that definitely prefer Werewolf, the longer game, the more involved game. And I think that is a more serious game as well. And I think that one might be a little bit creepy if you did it right. But what I don't like about it is the player elimination. You could be out in the first round and have to sit there for an hour.
Yeah.
Is the only thing. One Night Ultimate Werewolf is very light and fun. And I know the times that we've played it, Kaylee, we just... laugh a lot.
I'm the werewolf.
Yeah. So.
Shout out to Adam's mother.
Nice.
She's not allowed on the show, apparently, though.
Right. No mothers are allowed on the podcast.
No moms.
No allowed.
But we do have our list of the top 10 games that we like to play on Halloween. So I'm just going to go ahead and read these off. And you guys can agree or disagree, but these are the top 10. So, in no particular order, we have King of Tokyo with the Halloween expansion. Monsters, aliens, crushing a city.
Fitting.
Yeah, I think so. We have Ticket to Ride with the Alvin and Dexter expansion. Dinosaurs and aliens running amok in the cities of the United States.
I don't know if that's super Halloween-y.
Plus, it's Ticket to Ride, and we all know how I feel about that game.
You haven't even played
it. How dare you bring that up?
So you know what? Just shush your mouth.
And I will never play it.
That's a lie right there.
I will always support that game, so.
All right. Along similar lines, Terror in Meeple City / Rampage. Again, monsters destroying cities.
I feel like that one's just, like, super fun and cheesy.
It is.
Yeah.
We play a lot of, like, silly light games just because that's kind of our demographic. So we might have to dive into some of these heavy
hitting. That's what I've been saying.
I know.
We'll for months there. Now.
We'll get there. All right. Next, Smash Up. There's a lot of different monsters in that game. And I think with the science fiction expansion, the Monster Smash expansion... adding even more monsters, that can be a fun Halloween game.
Yeah, that works very well for a Halloween theme.
I think so, yeah. Betrayal at House on the Hill, which we talked about. Small
quintessential.
World. Yeah, the quintessential. Small World, actually probably a pretty good Halloween game. Lots of different factions in there of different monsters. Not a game I enjoy, but you can play it on Halloween. There's monsters. One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Cosmic Encounter. I feel like that could be a pretty cool Halloween game. Lots and lots of different aliens. Some of them pretty scary, actually. Dead of Winter. And finally, Candyland. What better day to play Candyland than on Halloween?
I think the better day would be never.
Oh, Mr. Powell.
Haters gonna hate.
So,
how are you enjoying this episode, considering it's your last one?
Well, now I'm just going to
get
all
the
out.
Jokes in now.
So there are other, probably more appropriate Halloween-type board games, and I've got a list here. So Mall of Horror, City of Horror, that is a zombie survival game, I suppose similar to Dead of Winter. So you're looking for an antidote, and along the way you actually have to sacrifice your friends via lifeboat-esque maneuvers to the zombies to be able to survive.
Well, then I'll be the first one dead.
Maybe we won't play that one.
That's how we all play lifeboat,
right?
Against Kaylee.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Zombie dice.
It happens. It happens to me.
Zombie dice is actually you're playing as zombies and you're trying to eat brains via the Yahtzee mechanic. Yeah, I think there's actually a school bus expansion to that as well. I don't know what that is. I didn't want to look.
It sounds pretty.
It does, yeah. And then Ghost!
Yes.
Ghost!
So, in that game, each of you owns a mansion, and you've got, I think, vampires and zombies and ghosts and things in your mansion, and you're actually trying to expel them and have them wander through the backyards into other people's mansions. We haven't actually played it, but it probably will get played by our group because it is a lighter fare.
Much to the disappointment of Steven.
So Ghost Stories is a cooperative game where you are defending a town against invading ghosts. There's a guy named Wu Fang in it. He's supposed to be pretty scary.
It must be Asian,
then.
Arkham and Eldritch Horror, again a cooperative adventure game where you are battling off Cthulhu-esque monsters from entering the world. So you are trying to close portals before the ancient ones make their way onto the planet. It's actually very popular.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every time I see it, it looks really cool. But
yeah. I think it can get pretty complex. There are quite a few expansions for it. Yeah. Mysterium, which was the new hotness this year. But this is where one of you has died. You have been killed, and you are a spirit trying to help the other players figure out who actually killed you. And this is done through a Dixit-like mechanic where you are playing cards in front of you that just have pictures on them. And you're not allowed to talk, and they have to try and figure out what has happened to you just by looking at the pictures. Mansions of Madness, which is, I think, Betrayal at House on the Hill on steroids.
Ooh, I'm interested.
Yeah, another Fantasy Flight game. I think the combat system is more engaging.
If it's Fantasy Flight,
yeah.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Fantasy Flight, Betrayal at House on Haunted Hill. Yeah. I am so in.
Yeah, I think we'll have to play this one. It's an expensive game because it's probably one of their most ornate.
Wow.
Yeah. Fury of Dracula is very similar to a Spectre Ops-like game where you are hunting one of the other players who is moving about the countryside undetected. And finally, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the board game, where you are either playing a vampire or a slayer in Sunnydale, trying to extinguish evil. A very popular and sought-after game. Did you guys ever watch Buffy the Vampire? You're all kind of young.
Seen it, okay. But only like one episode.
Yeah, that was more kind of during my high school years.
Yeah, it's kind of out of my demographic.
Here's the funny thing. When I saw it, it seemed like kind of a cool concept in its own right. And yet, the name Buffy,
not doing it
such
for
a
you.
Poor choice. Like,
yeah,
I think that's part of the whole charm of it.
I know it's supposed to be charm of it, but it's just,
yeah,
that's what really made it like cheesy to me. But when I watched it, there's like some vampire, like some kind of crazy thing coming at her.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh my gosh! And then one of her friends is like, Buffy, and it just ruins
it. Kills it.
And I'm like, oh.
It is pretty cheesy, but it's fun. So before we talk about our games of the podcast, I have three bonus games on a piece of paper here that I found on BoardGameGeek. I'm going to read you the title, and then you have to then guess what they're about. First game, Doorways of Horror. What is this game about?
I'm guessing doorways.
and horror.
Possibly
what?
Horror.
OMG.
Yes, when you hear Doorways of Horror, what it conjures up in your brain.
I feel like it would be another like mansion type game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Haunted Hill or Clue, I don't know, some sort of dungeon crawler, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Those are all pretty good guesses.
None of them are right though, are they?
There are doorways. There are.
Whoa. Yeah.
And is there horror?
This is actually a VCR game. So it comes with a cassette tape.
That's cheating.
Oh, my word.
So you put in the cassette, and apparently, as the cassette plays through, different doorways open up, and you then pause the cassette, and you have to cast spells on the different monsters that come through these doorways, and you'll get gold coins for destroying monsters, and whoever destroys the most monsters wins.
I thought you were going to say you get goats. I was No.
I would play it if we were collecting goats
if
from monsters.
There were goats involved.
Yeah. All right, next game. The Garlic Vampires.
I'm sorry, but that game just sounds a little dumb. The Garlic
to me.
Vampires.
The
it's
Garlic
my new
vampires.
Favorite game, 2015.
Dead of Winter, you've been replaced. The Garlic Vampires. So I can't help but just picture Imperial Settler type art when I hear that. Like, kind of a childish, like, fun theme. You know, those kinds of games that I dislike.
Right. Yeah.
I think you're going to have to play as the vampire.
I feel like it's kind of like a Hotel Transylvania sort of.
Yeah, I feel like you are playing as the vampires, but I'm not sure what type of game it would be.
Okay.
Cooking.
Like, are you
cooking?
Cooking, yeah. There's garlic involved. Cooking. No.
Okay, yeah. Well, you guys pretty much almost nailed it, believe it or not. It is a child's game. It is lighter fare. You do play as a vampire. You're all going to meet Count Gregorius of Erie Castle because he is hosting a party.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. And
maybe he did cook.
He has prepared food for you.
Oh, maybe
snap.
I'm not crazy.
However, you are the only vampires on the planet who actually like garlic. So
what?
You are all trying to position yourselves to receive garlic food that is served. And whoever collects the most garlic wins the game.
Okay, like I said, this game sounded dumb.
All right. The last game on the list.
Oh, no.
This one is actually quite popular.
Is it?
And was recently released, but I don't think you three have heard of it yet. So.
Until Dawn.
Shout out.
This game is called The Bloody Inn.
Murder.
Cooking.
First thing that pops into your head.
I'm guessing it's everyone against one person kind of thing. Kind of like Betrayal at House on the Hill.
That's just totally ridiculous. And it's actually like just about British people who are like, the Bloody Inn. And then it's just
a bloody fine
the
inn.
Bloody Inn.
Yeah. And then they rate it like 1 star online, and then that's like the game. But
not a big fan of that Bloody Inn.
Precisely.
Precisely.
So you have two ways we can go here. Either...
I don't think that's it.
Yeah, the latter is very unlikely, but...
But it would be something that Adam would try to throw at us.
I know, well, with how he leaned back like that.
Yeah, and like gave us the eye.
This game is actually pretty morbid.
Oh.
Yes.
Murder.
Murder, yes.
Yes.
So...
Cooking?
Wrong!
British people.
Not quite that.
Any British people involved? Yeah.
European people, yeah.
Yes.
So,
close enough.
So the idea is you all live in this small town, but you all want to be rich.
Of course.
You're trying to devise a way to become rich, but still live in your tiny little town. So you all open inns.
The Bloody Inn.
And you play as competing greedy innkeepers who kill their tenants and then rob them of their riches.
Oh, my gosh!
Yes. So there
that
is
that makes
murder.
So much sense.
Yeah. However, you can bribe other tenants in the hotel to help you kill other guests. And the only thing is you don't want to get caught by the police who occasionally visit the inn.
Don't you just kill the police? I don't got time worrying about the police.
Right.
Just kill them too.
Have you run a Bloody Inn before?
No.
I feel like as soon as my employer came up to me, he's like, hey, could you come and kill this guy with me? I feel like I'd be like, I'm not really in the mood for murder.
Right.
I'm not really in a murder mood right now.
So that's the Bloody Inn.
The Bloody Inn.
Yeah, pretty morbid. It's a unique theme for sure. But it's on the hotness right now on Board Game Geek. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about some games we played recently. One of those, the most popular Kickstarter of all time, Exploding Kittens.
That was worth it.
$35 spent right there.
You open the box and it meows at you.
Yes.
Kaylee, you purchased this game.
I did purchase this
game. Can you give us a rundown as to what in the world is happening in this card game?
Well, as the box says, it's for people who are into kittens and explosions and laser beams and sometimes goats.
Sign me up.
You were just talking about how you like goats. So yeah.
But basically, it's just you're trying not to pick up the exploding kitten.
Right.
And there are different cards that you can use to help you to not pick up this exploding kitten and be the last survivor.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
There's like taco cats and catermelons, hairy potato cats, a barodactyl.
The future seeing mantis shrimp.
Or there's the future seeing goat because his beard is so magnificent. But you have to pay $20 in order to learn about the future.
The game's theme is very intact with the whole internet culture.
Right. Yeah, we should say, if you're a fan of the oatmeal, the same artist did the illustrations for this game. And I want to say that that's probably half the popularity of the game is the artwork.
Artwork is so awesome.
Yeah.
So
I guess we should say people aren't blowing these cats up. They're just getting into mischief.
Things
happen. So what are the different ways the cats blow up?
So there's one where he's gnawing on some dynamite and just kind of goes kablooey.
As you do.
Right? When you gnaw on dynamite.
Sorry, I had to open it to look. There's one where he accidentally launches, like, nuclear bombs and blows up the entire world. Yeah. And there's one where, like, he's sleeping on a space station or something and, like,
on
it's
a console
like...
inside a space station, right? Not on the space station.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. But, like, cat hair ends up getting in a certain spot and it just blows up the space station. And then another one is where he's chewing on a grenade and blows himself up in the house.
Again, as that happens, right, when you chew on a grenade.
Yeah, that tends to happen. So, Mr. Powell, you've played this a few times.
Yeah, a couple times with some friends. It is very fun, but it's very fun theme-wise. There's a lot of funny cards, but it's a pretty simple game.
It is,
Like only a couple different kind of cards, but they've all got different names to...
I will admit that when I first saw this game, I was like, oh my gosh, this is not going to be fun. And then you get into it, and it's like... Dang. I want to keep playing.
Another round of exploding kittens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where there's magical unicorn enchiladas.
Yeah. I think for me, I enjoyed the artwork the most and just the silliness of the artwork and the theme because the oatmeal in and of itself is very silly. Yeah, I really enjoyed the artwork. I don't know that I could play this game like 10 or 12 times, but a handful of times, yeah.
Have some extra time in between bigger games.
Yeah. Good filler game, I think.
I mainly like it because the one and only time I played it, I totally tactically beat
Tactically, Kaylee. As if there was any tactics to that.
No.
It was tactical.
I was there. I witnessed it. It was pretty good.
It was pretty intense.
Yeah. So Exploding Kittens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty popular game.
Do you know how much money it made on Kickstarter?
Ooh.
$8.7 million. Yep.
That's insane.
That's far too much.
That is surprising.
Like, the game was cool, but that's far too much. Wow.
It's not $8.7 million worth of good.
Surprising and also not surprising, well, I guess, at the same time.
Again, it's very in tune with the internet culture. Right. So if you're funding it on an internet kind of thing, everyone's going to be like, ooh, cats, explosions, mantis shrimp.
Yeah.
Unicorns.
Yeah.
Click.
And it's a pretty small box game, so it really didn't cost that much to back, I don't think. And, you know, there's also a game called Kittens in a Blender. Pretty sure that was on Kickstarter.
Side note, there's also
I don't think that one funded as well, but yeah,
I also have a feeling that record will not be broken for a long time because, like, Scythe pretty big hit.
Yeah.
And in comparison, it's still way less than right. that. So that's...
Yeah, I think it's going back to what Mr. Powell said. It just has the appeal of so many people right now. And again, I think in large part due to the art. Yeah. Anything else we want to say about exploding kittens? Oh.
Hating on my game.
What's that?
Nothing.
Nobody's hating on anything.
So, Kaylee, your sister has a different version of exploding kittens.
Yes.
What
it's
is that
the
about?
Adult version.
Of course.
Oh, my.
The not safe for work exploding kittens. And really, it's not... There are some cards that aren't that bad. It's just like a zombie cat eating his own eyeball and
okay.
a little bit more graphic. But mm-hmm. then you get into the dirty ones, which right. are more like humor. The diffuse and the attack cards. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I think adult games are kind of a thing now after Cards Against, which, in my opinion, is pretty unfortunate. Just because I don't think they're all that creative. So... apart from being filthy.
Yeah, the guy said that when she had bought it, that people preferred that game now over Cards Against Humanity.
Okay. Yeah. I think Cards Against is losing steam. It's yeah, kind well, of its shock value.
I still know a
out.
Lot of people who want to play it.
Value.
I've never played it. Yeah. I don't really care to play it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are like, dude, we should play Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
It's funny. And again, going back to Shut Up and Sit Down, if you have the time... Find the article that they wrote on Cards Against Humanity. I think it's the best kind of review of the game out there. And it's, I think, something we reposted on our Facebook yeah. page as well. So, yeah, read that if you get the chance.
So what's the name of the podcast?
Game of the podcast is Tiny Epic Galaxies.
What?
Yeah. Which is in the Tiny Epic family. We got to play Tiny Epic Kingdoms with Alex at Origins at 1 in the morning, I think.
Which we've already discussed. And the only thing it had going for it was, in fact, the fact that it was tiny.
It was
the epic part was lacking significantly.
It's so hard to fit epic into such a small box.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the fact that it was 1 in the morning didn't help either. Nobody knew how to play the game, so we had to read the rules first of all.
I told you this already.
Yeah.
And it's just how... I think after we played Tiny Epic Galaxies, and mm-hmm. it was just me and you, Adam, one-on-one.
Yeah.
That was far more enjoyable for me. It's just a better game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Kingdoms with like 5 players just dragged out far too long for mm-hmm. the size. Like, it's such a small game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would expect it to go real fast, and we play that game for what felt like forever.
It did go on quite a while. In Tiny Epic Kingdoms, you're all taking action, so you each get to choose an action and be the first to do that, whether it's trying to build up your castle or increase your spell book, and there are things along those lines. And you each get to do those things, but you get to do them in turn. The way Tiny Epic Galaxies works is you all have your own individual galaxy, and then you have planets set in front of you. And you've got a handful of dice, and you roll the dice, and the dice are going to allow you to do different things. The order in which you play your dice is determined by you. So maybe you've got one of your spaceships that you want to fly to a planet, and each planet has a particular action that you can perform. So say you fly to a planet and you gain some energy. And energy is what you use to upgrade your galaxy along with culture points. So I think the dice already help the game because they're fun, they're tactile.
Plus yeah. the dice, side note, are swanky.
They are.
Those are some nice dice.
They are pretty nice.
They have like a whole like black like marble look to them. Mm-hmm. And then they have sweet symbols.
Right.
I was like, what?
Yeah. And
Mr. Powell is now looking at the dice. He must see this for himself.
Right. And the other thing that I think sets it apart from the other Tiny Epic games is the fact that you have the ability as not the main player to perform any action that the main player is doing. All you have to do is spend some of your culture points and gave that some validity in the fact that if you're copying somebody that's not really developing culture, you are actually copying somebody else's culture.
Yeah, so it's cheap, you know? It's like, that's lame. You can just copy someone else.
Right, so I'm going to fly to a planet too because that's what that other galaxy is doing.
Yeah.
I can confirm the dice are swanky.
Such swanky dice.
Yeah.
Well, and then in Kingdoms, you each had your own tiny epic kingdom, you know? Right. And then you interacted with each other's kingdoms, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how in Galaxies you have your own galaxy, mm-hmm. but then you also have the cards.
Yeah.
And when you are able to capture a planet by various different means, mm-hmm. which I'm sure, Adam, you will explain, you add the planets onto your galaxy so you can kind of expand your galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are 40 planets, all with individual artwork and all with individual names. And so it's very personalized for each, like, planet. Some of them have, like, legitimate names, so to speak. Others have just, like, real scientific-type names, like ICT4970, right. whatever. And then other one, like, I know I had one planet that was, like, Gorgon or something. So the names are kind of entertaining in and of themselves.
Right. But. Yeah, and you colonize each of these planets with either diplomacy or economy, and those are also symbols on the dice. So really, it's up to you how you want to explore and conquer the galaxy. And if at any point you're not happy with your reroll, you can spend energy to reroll your dice as well. There's also something called the converter, where if you've got unused dice, you can put two of them into the converter and convert another die into whatever you want, which Steven, I know you used a few times.
Did you ever use that?
I did not.
Yeah, no. I used it 3 or 4 times, I think.
Yeah, I spent energy to reroll.
Yeah.
And just kind of dealt with whatever came up. Yeah. But yeah, the artwork is really, really cool. I think, like you said, each of the planets has its own individual art. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of games don't go to those lengths.
Well, and I thought for sure, because a lot of the planets, you know, they have like colors. So I thought for sure, like, among the green planets, there would be at least one repeat design.
Right.
But I looked at, and each one, even if it's just very subtle, mm-hmm. is unique.
Right.
And that was really cool.
Yeah, and we probably looked at maybe 10 of the 40 planets. And
in the actual game, we played. Right. Of course, we looked through the deck. But
yeah, and each one has a special ability. And you play to a certain number of points. I think it was 21 points.
Yes.
And as you take over planets with diplomacy and kind of economy. So I think you've got options there in terms of how you can win the game as well.
I feel like if you just wanted to real rapid fire acquire a bunch of the smaller planets, mm-hmm. You could gather quite a few points that way.
Yeah.
Or if you want to just save up and get a couple large planets and level up your culture mm-hmm. to a certain level, then it would all balance out and you can win that way.
Right.
There are, several ways to play.
Well, and when we played, I ended up with a planet kind of, I didn't really look at the planet's ability before I started going after it. I just saw that it was worth a lot of points. And I ended up with this planet that gave me a lot of diplomacy. It's just, which ones do you secure?
Well, and it was funny because I did read the skill for that planet, and I knew, like, well, I feel like if used properly, that could be almost overpowered.
Right.
And then you got it, and I'm like, crap. And then you didn't even pay much attention to it for a turn or two.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh. And then, you just copied everything I did and got all this free crap.
You're not bitter at all.
No.
No, no. So we played it just the two of us. This has a solo version. It plays up to 5. And I think we haven't played it with 5 players, but I think it would be a more enjoyable experience with 5 as opposed to Tiny Epic Kingdoms.
Yeah, because the dice, I think, would really help.
Right, yeah. Side note, we saw the Gamelin Knight at Origins and actually took a video of him. So if you want to see our video of the Gamelin Knight, the Big Blue Knight, check out either our...
Well, to be fair, it was our Origins video.
Yeah.
And he just kind of made a cameo.
He did,
It's not like we just sat there recording.
Oh, no,
the
I
night.
Followed him around.
And there's some super cool pictures that I got where Seth is doing the fighting or whatever with yeah. another knight, mm-hmm. and he's just in the background, like watching them, like right. who's gonna win this?
Like the old veteran watching the new yeah. recruits, yeah, kind like... of a thing. Yeah.
So check out our website bgpov.com and look for our Origins post there. But I will say we're on iTunes as well, so if you enjoy the program, we would love to have you guys go rate us and give us kind of a little write up there on iTunes, because those things certainly help.
Yep, a little review, five yeah. stars. It's like, Steven is the best.
His voice is just made for
made
radio.
For radio. He should be a DJ. He was born to be a DJ. Everyone else, meh.
Jay.
That's why you are the voice.
Mr. Powell
podcast.
Forgets a lot of stuff.
0 out of 5 stars. Why do they keep bringing back Mr. Powell?
Those bad jokes, though. Killing the ratings. Is anyone here dressing up for Halloween? Are we doing the...
Nope.
I'm going as Mario. I got to answer
You've done
my
that
door.
Before, man.
Yeah, that's all I've got. It's the only...
It's a good costume.
It's the only
I'm
costume I have. I answered the door as Mario. The kids love it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Mr. Prowl?
I'm doing a simple light Yagami thing from Death Note. It's pretty easy because all you have to do is dress up like a student and get a notebook.
Done.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. What are you dressed up as?
I'm rocking... Teletubby.
Which one? I can't tell what color that is.
Obviously the blue one.
There's a blue one?
Is there?
This one like
I don't know.
Red, yellow, purple, and green.
Never mind that. It's my
know.
Own Teletubby. By God.
Steven the Teletubby.
It's my own unique character, actually.
Although, in all seriousness... Well, I'm going to just, because I have it,
yeah.
and I only wore it once.
I'm Daredevil. Gonna, I knew it. I called it.
I'm going to rock the Daredevil yeah. costume again.
Nice.
In fact, I actually have a whole group. I'm going to call them my squad.
Nice. Good.
Just to be hip.
He yeah. wants squad goals. He wants his squad goals to be on point
yeah.
on Saturday.
Okay.
You know it.
So, Kaylee, you're not dressing up?
No.
Not even for work? Are you
no.
allowed?
I'm not working on Halloween.
Oh, okay.
It's the slowest day in retail.
I know what Ooh. You're. I know what you're dressing up as, Debbie Downer, Killjoy,
oh,
Party
hey.
Pooper, all of the above. And, okay.
Well, it's not like I'm going out, so why would I dress up?
I just answered the door dressed up.
Surprised that you're not going as Luigi, since you claim he's the better of the two brothers.
I do have a Luigi as well.
Although let's be real, Peach always loved Luigi more. The whole thing with Mario was just a front.
I don't know. I always assumed Daisy and Luigi were a thing.
Yeah, I think they
That's
are.
Kind of the setup canon.
Yeah.
It's setup canon, but there is no. There's a dark backstory to all that.
Actually, it's all Peach and Bowser.
Things just got weird.
Peach so. Lets herself get kidnapped because she wants Mario to die.
Right. Girls like
that. I never saw
or
that.
Or yeah. she just wants to make Mario jealous because maybe... He wasn't paying enough attention to her.
Ooh.
He wants to make she wants to make Luigi jealous, but Mario keeps stealing the spotlight. Anyways, we should really end this, I think.
Yeah. I feel like Steven has very strong feelings with Mario and Luigi and Peach.
I do too.
Well, I also feel as though Luigi is the superior. Brother.
I think he is, yeah.
I think he's into love triangles.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of one right now.
Yeah.
Oh, really? It's Do tell more.
We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, our followers might want to know.
Our followers. So many of them.
I know. Yes. We'll see if they ask any questions. Yeah. We can answer them.
If you're seriously that curious about my non-existent love life, you can go ahead and message.
That's why he's in the middle of a love triangle.
So this has been episode 19. Of the board game point of view.
Halloween
very special
cast.
Halloween episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is that scary? Is that not scary?
That was scary.
Okay, are you scared?
Dude, I am shaking right now. That was so scary.
I'm shaking in my custom-made baby seal leather boots.
Hey guys, what's up? Guys? Is anybody here? Mom? Dad? Buzz? What was that? Guys, this isn't funny anymore.
Ow!